25-0501-1144. Expectation, basis of result. Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, was dictated to Mary Baker Eddy by God. She describes herself as a scribe under orders. This is the textbook of Christian Science, and she begins with three quotes. One, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus. Two, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Shakespeare. Three, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." Mary Baker G. Eddy. There are many treasures in this book, and Einstein made the following statement: "Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book." He was referring to Mary Baker Eddy as thou with a capital T. And Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, was the book to which he referred. To patronize a Christian Science reading room affiliated with the church he was attending, and it is a quiet place where one can study. Einstein devoted his life to the study of matter and how it relates to time, space, relativity, and so forth. He is known for his formula of relativity, E equal mc squared. He said he wished he could ride a beam of light through space. That is depending on a material sense of light. For him to come to the realization that all of that work that he did for his life is subordinate to something else is very interesting. He had to take a giant leap to do that. So what is the instruction in the first quote? Always look for the truth. And then we will be free from what? A false sense of what humanity believes to be their very substance, matter. Is this statement: there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. On pages 309 and 450, she adds these other terms: electricity, animal nature, animal life, and vegetable life. In other words, there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter, electricity, animal nature, animal life, or vegetable life. Human beings are considered to be animals. Our nature, the nature of humanity, is considered to be animal nature. Vegetables are considered to have their own life. Electricity has been defined to be the most ethereal form of matter. Frederick L. Rawson, whom excelled in every single thing that he pursued, was an electrical engineer, and because of his reputation in solving problems that had to do with electricity that no one else seemed to be able to solve, large companies from all around the world traveled to see him for assistance in solving their problems. And this was back in the early 1900s, around the late 1800s to maybe 1925 or so. And so travel was not easy. He was located in England, but at that time there was no other way to really communicate without being in person. After becoming proficient in Christian Science healing, he measured the electrical charges in the body before and after healing. And he found that negative charges were actually short-circuited in the process of healing. He was an expert researcher, and so when he got a new idea on how to bring forth the healing, he would test it. If it worked, he would utilize it. If not, he would go back to the drawing board. He did not trust something just because he read it, but when he was convinced it was right, he had the conviction that could make the healing repeated time after time. When he was convinced that the statement in Science and Health stated, God is all in all, he had an opportunity to utilize his conviction about that after he understood it clearly. He and another Christian Scientist were together one time, and they were gazing out a window overlooking a street, and there was a man driving an animal-drawn cart full of rocks. And he stopped the cart to go back and examine the tailgate. And when he was back there, something alarmed the animal, who raised up and dumped the entire load of rocks on the driver, who was then totally immersed. Frederick L. Rawson observed the event and immediately made this statement. There is nothing but God. As soon as he finished that short little phrase, the man rocketed out from underneath the rocks, totally unharmed. Mr. Rawson was a very humble man, and this incident was reported, as I have related it here, by his friend who was with him observing the incident. His name is Spalding, and of course both of them are listed on our website as authors. Mr. Rawson's understanding of Christian Science enabled him to treat back in time, whereby the healing would be effective prior to the time that he was contacted to assist in bringing about a healing. He indicated that he was convinced that each individual life already predetermined, and it was like going to a movie. Which part of it do you want to view? And through Christian Science, otherwise known as divine metaphysics, he was able to view and correct that portion of the life that included a problem. And therefore, the script that was already predetermined was modified back in time, whereby the negative charges were shorted out within the body, and the healing was affected. He proved this over 500 times with healings once he had discovered how to treat back in time. He had already been a student of the Bible before he learned about Christian Science, It is not uncommon for those who are at the top in their field of endeavor have recognized that there is a power or force of some kind that is controlling the universe. Some have devoted their lifetime to figure out what it was in order to establish the root notions of the universe. But of course, they were all unsuccessful because they were trying to discover it based on matter being the substance of the universe instead of spirit. Many of them arrived on planet Earth after Mary Baker Eddy's discovery in 1866, and so it is a shame that there was not a way for better communication to take place for them to be able to realize that the solution was already at hand, and they could then devote their energy to exploring what Mary Baker Eddy had discovered and build on that as a foundation. She stated that Christian Science was so vast that she expected her discovery to be elaborated upon in the future, had no qualms about anyone who was honest and understood upon which they were writing for them to go ahead and pursue it. Consider what Shakespeare said. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. He is widely respected as a man of great brilliance. So he's making the clear statement that one's thinking has a direct impact on their experience about anything that comes their way. Anyone who has studied success and how to obtain it is familiar with a number of different people that have been very successful only after they were challenged in many very serious ways. And the difference between those who succeed and those who fail are based on how you deal with the challenge. Are you going to permit yourself to be beaten down and then just give up? Or are you going to look upon it as an opportunity and do what Einstein states in his statement about curiosity, wherein he says, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. The current President of the United States, among his many books that he's written of great wisdom, talked about one time when he was facing bankruptcy on a particular project, and there may have been several involved, that he realized that instead of liquidating at a bankruptcy price, that it would be better to operate the business, and in the end, more would be gained as a result. And so therefore, he convinced the bankers that wanted to require liquidation to wait and permit him time to work out the solution. In the end, all were very happy and well rewarded from the increase in the price as a result of working through the problem. One of the things Frederick L. Rawson emphasizes, that if you're working on a situation that seems to have great odds against a solution, and of course in this case we're talking about a healing, one affirm at the very onset of the effort to solve the problem that all things are possible with God. After all, if God is the one controlling the entire universe, what would be impossible? There's no real competition. There's no opposition if God is the only. These explanatory words are are from my own thoughts that have come just at the moment. But in other words, Mary Baker Eddy states that the greatest capacity of a human is reasoning. And that, of course, is what we need to do when we're thinking. Instead of accepting a problem as unsolvable, we need to look at all the facts and have them organized so that we can look at it in a factual manner and not some kind of an impulsive or emotional manner. Ben Franklin said that the way he makes a decision is he makes a T-chart in a one vertical line up the middle on a piece of paper and one horizontal line at the top. And he labels one positive and the other negative. So that if he makes a decision, what are all the positive things that would be expected and all of the negatives? And then he can compare and evaluate the weight of each one of the elements that are on the positive side and compare it to the weight of each item on the negative side. In essence, we should not try to make a decision ourselves. We should let the facts make the decision. That's what intelligence is all about. Let oneself be guided by the factors that are involved. If one is going to work in a spiritual avenue, then we need to understand what are the facts about God. We need to understand what each one of the seven synonymous terms really mean and how there can be a reversal by utilizing those factors, comparing them to what the negative appears to be. And we can make our own T-chart. And that's what we should be doing. We should always be looking to expose the evil and to affirm the truth. That's exactly what Mary Baker Eddy says that we should do in healing. We need to find the specific error that is apparently causing the problem, and we have to reverse it. Mr. Rawson has a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And there's a chapter in there called Applied Treatment. And in it, he lists 1,315 different items that are potential problems. And then he gives you the solution for each and every one of them. If you would like to take a look at it, consider any problem that you may have. Don't be concerned about things that are not affecting your life right this minute, because that's only going to plant the seed in your thought about that problem. That is the wrong kind of a seed to plant in the garden of your consciousness. Also, when researching to find what the root of the problem is, be aware that evil operates on deception. So what problem may be surfacing to you may be totally unrelated to the real root of the cause. For example, Suppose that you have a very important meeting to attend, and the outcome of the meeting will determine other alternatives, and you feel that you can have a very positive impact in that meeting so that things would be turned around from what may be very unfavorable at the moment to something very favorable. Suppose you have an obstruction that seems to be preventing you from getting to the meeting. If you see through this, you will realize that you should not be wasting your time trying to solve the obstruction, but look at the larger picture and realize that this is only an effort to prevent you from being at that meeting and making a constructive presentation that can change everything and turn it around for the benefit of all concerned. Christian Science is not just a religion, it is a way of life. Einstein stated that science without religion was lame, and religion without science was blind. So this is what attracted him very much to Christian Science, because it is both the science and the religion. And they reinforce and support each other in the complete package of a way of life. Another thing very valuable about Christian Science is that one can prevent what otherwise could be very unfavorable events taking place. A longtime friend suggested that when I am driving, that I think of mind as the driver, truth as the road, and love as the vehicle. Mary Baker Eddy says, the difference between success and failure is very often due to how one uses the moment. A moment, of course, is measured as the smallest amount of time. So there's no mathematical measurement, it's just a word to describe it. One can make an affirmative statement in 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 3 seconds. Think of how many 3-second moments one would have in a day. It'd be like an infinite number. Whenever one plans to pursue something with great vigor and vitality, with attendant perseverance, we must guard our thought to make sure that all parties involved are going to be blessed. We have to get self-will completely out of the way if we want the result to be long-lasting and benefit everyone involved. Isaiah gives us a wonderful word of wisdom, and Mary Baker Eddy uses this quote at the beginning of chapter 14. The recapitulation chapter. It says, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. She emphasizes that we should take things one step at a time and not strive to make a giant leap. Not that we should be approaching anything with a limited thought, But think about the race between the hare and the turtle. The hare takes off real fast, and he's far ahead of the turtle immediately, but he's tired. So he goes on the side of the path and lays down to sleep. In the meantime, the turtle walks right on by and gets to the finish line first. So consistent, stable progress is the idea to pursue. Backsliding is common when you forge ahead without proper thought. It's been said that a student rises to the level of the expectation of the teacher. Also, when the teacher is ready, the student appears, and the reverse. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. Roger Bannister was the first one that ran the 1 mile race in less than 4 minutes. Everyone just looked upon 4 minutes as being a barrier. And once he broke the record, it was only something like, I think it was 46 or 56 days after that, that his record was broken. And it had been going on for a very long time without that record ever being broken of 4 minutes. The quote about a student will rise to the level of the expectation of the teacher was in a movie called Stand and Deliver. He was a aeronautical engineer, and he really wanted to do something for humanity, and so he decided to leave his engineering job at the aerospace company and teach high school math, because he knew there was a need there, and he happened to be Mexican, so he wanted to teach kids in East LA, which is a heavy Mexican area. And he told the class that they had several strikes against them to begin with, and he said the great equalizer is math. And he had, of course, been successful as an engineer. And he was a Mexican and had to face the prejudice that apparently had been against him. He was able to teach calculus to high school students that didn't even know math. He taught them math the first year, and the second year he taught them calculus. And he prepared them by having them come during the summer to give them preparation so they could be prepared to embark upon learning calculus in the regular school term. They were able to pass the advanced placement tests in calculus for entrance into college. There was a running coach that was teaching a high school girls team to run the 400 meter dash. They were the bottom school in their league and consistently lost their games. In 1 year, she made them state champions. And how did she do it? She started slow, teaching them a pace that they could handle and built up their endurance, a step at a time. She said, when you're out there on the track, you don't pay attention to anyone else on the track, except look in front of you so you don't run into the individual. She said, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, don't look behind you, and don't worry whether you win or lose the race. You have to focus on running at the pace that you're trained to run for that particular race. And she worked them up step by step from the bottom to the top. The Isaiah quote, precept upon precept. There is a principle involved in everything that we do that is worthwhile. Everything that is wholesome. Everything that will benefit all concerned. We have to make sure we discover what that principle is and utilize it. Let that be the thrust of what brings success. Bicknell Young, a very popular Christian Science practitioner, said he had people coming to him all the time wanting assistance on solving business problems. And he said it was typical that they didn't know how to run their business, and they thought Christian Science would perform a miracle for them. Mary Baker Eddy states that the reason Jesus was so successful in his healing practice was that he lived a life humanly that was at the maximum level, whereby the human reached the divine. The outstanding trait was love. Love is a motherly quality where you nurture everything to bring it to fulfillment. Every man and woman should strive to have that womanly characteristic, just as a woman should strive to have the manly characteristic of perseverance and courage and strength. Things of value are not going to happen as a result of pushing self-will. They're going to come as a result of reflecting the divine characteristics of God. This is a combination of the network of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Mind being the capacity, capability, functionality, the creativeness, the enlightenment. Spirit being the substance, which is spirit and flawless. Soul being the identity, which is utilizing the spiritual senses of sight, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Principle, as mentioned, is the structure, system, balance, harmony. Life being the vitality. Practicing, living the laws of God, as expressed through the characteristics of the seven synonymous terms. Truth is staying on the path of learning more about God and utilizing good motives to be the energizer of your thought, speech, and action. A motive that's going to bless all that are concerned with the event or the activity. And love, as mentioned, is the nurturing of all the qualities to bring them to fulfillment, wholeness, completeness. Mary Baker Eddy, in giving us the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer, the first verse where Jesus says, Our Father, which art in heaven. She gives the spiritual sense of that, the main, Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious. We should protect every activity by affirming the qualities of God. Suppose that we are ordering something, something that we really need. We should declare affirmations that supply and demand are one, and that the sale benefits the one making the sale, and if you're the buyer, that you're going to benefit from the product. Both parties will be satisfied, and the product will be serviceable, and the delivery will be made on time, and nothing can interfere with the satisfactory conclusion of the transaction. Mary Baker Eddy says it's important for us to have a model in thought. Obviously, it will be a perfect model, because we want to refer to that as our guideline in all thought, speech, and action. It is very common to only think about God when one is exhausted and sees no other solution than relying on something that is outside of their normal realm of possibilities. But is that what the Bible means when it says we should pray without ceasing? Remember what was discussed about the third quote at the beginning. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. The results are brought forth as a normal activity within the realm of harmony, principle. Christian Science is a religion of practicality. It's a religion of living. It is a way of life that enables us to enhance everything in our life by applying the principles of Christian Science. If we really study deeply the seven synonymous terms and the four operators and understand the four levels, then we will go forward on a solid foundation. The four operators are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. The Word means all of the facts about God. The Christ means translating whatever we face by dissolving what appears as something very unfavorable to realize that there is a perfection in every operation. Jesus, when he was faced with someone that had a problem, he didn't see them as having a problem. He saw them as a perfect idea of God. And his perfect model that he applied to the situation at hand brought forth the healing. Often he would ask the individual if they had faith that they could be healed. He had difficulty in Galilee, the area where he grew up and was born, because people thought of him as just a normal boy and in an average trade, which was carpentry. So he actually left the area and devoted effort to other areas where they didn't have a preconceived notion of him in his childhood or in his adulthood as a tradesman. It's important to have a receptive thought. In Genesis, there are 7 days of creation that are explained from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 3. And in each case, it says, and God said, let us. We have to let. We have to open our thought and let what is already real be recognized by our thought. If we don't do the letting, then it cannot happen. We can't change anything that is true, but we cannot benefit from what is true if we're not willing to accept it. If we're not willing to open our thought and let it be changed from something that is untrue about God's real manifestation for the truth about a perfect God, a perfect man, and a relationship whereby man is governed by God, and that man is not the doer, but only the reflection, utilizing the capabilities of God. Individuals that are healed of some ailment through a Christian Science practitioner, which is very rare today, it had been common back in Mary Baker Eddy's day, but that was before the whole Christian Science movement followed in the path of removing the discoverer from the discovery. One cannot steal and expect a lasting benefit. Honesty, from the minuscule to the grandiose, is mandatory in Christian Science. Joel Goldsmith, Wentworth Winslow, as well as Frederick L. Rawson, had 15-minute appointments. At the end of 15 minutes, the healing was finished. However, it would not be a lasting benefit to the individual if they did not pursue a serious study of Christian Science on their own. Christian Science, being a way of life, means it must be cultivated, nurtured, practiced. One of the greatest pianists of all time is Vladimir Ashkenazy. He was asked how he could perform with such excellence and perfection. Practice, 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 until the music plays me. No magic involved. A professional pianist will practice the Hannon exercises every day. That's like the principle in the execution. One of the top military men, offhand I don't recall whether he was a general or an admiral, but he said he begins his day with making his own bed. And the reason is that he wants to start the day with some little bit of success that is structured and organized. That's what he does. And then he builds on that with the thought that I've started the day correctly and I'm going to continue it no matter what I'm involved in. I'm going to have a principle and I'm going to practice the principle. We could start the day with thinking about something in particular that is a basic fact, such as definition of God, the definition of man, scientific statement of being. The third operator is exactly that. It is practicing Christian Science. Once we identify what are the facts about God and that we face anything that comes to us by converting a negative into the reality of the positive being real and the unreality of the belief, then we can start utilizing the algorithm to bring forth success. We must remember that Jesus lived a life of giving. Mary Baker Eddy, a life of giving. All three of the ones mentioned that had 15-minute appointments, a life of giving. The Bible says we should tithe 10%. Most people think of that as their income. Most people give nothing. How about everything else? How about your food, clothing, shelter, transportation? How about your talents? How about your time? You have 1,440 minutes a day. Every 24 hours, you have an opportunity to decide how you're going to use those 1,440 minutes. How much of it do you devote to benefiting all mankind? How about improving your understanding of Christian Science? Richard Strain was at the end of his rope, working 18 hours a day. He had 6 hours to be home to eat dinner, sleep, prepare for the next day, eat, and leave. And he wasn't making any progress in the 18 hours that he was away from the house. It appeared to him like he was just rotating in a circle. So after he explained this to the practitioner, she said, "When do you study?" He was silent. He couldn't figure out why she would ask such a question. He had no time to study. And he told her so. She said, "If you're not studying 5 hours a day, you're not going to get out of your hole. You're not going to make the progress that you desire to make." She said nothing else. He finally said, "Okay, I'm going to do it." He didn't say, "I'm going to try it." He didn't say, "I'm going to think about it." He made the commitment that he was going to do it. He didn't have any idea how, but he was going to start the first day by only sleeping 1 hour and studying five. He reported back that by the end of the week, things had improved so much in his work that he did not have any problem at all getting the normal sleep because he was getting so much more accomplished at work and he was studying 5 hours a day. Within 1 week of effort, he was dedicated to doing it. He was being led by a divine source, not self-will trying to push as he had been doing when he went to see the practitioner. He reports that later he was a speaker at various churches and it was under demand to do it. He's an author listed on the website. You can listen and read to the details yourself. The book that is highly recommended to learn the synonymous terms is entitled Your Divinity Revealed, and it's by the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, Helen Wright. Chapter 4 is on the synonymous term of mind. Chapter 5 on spirit. And up through chapter 10 are the 7 synonymous terms covered in each separate chapter. It's recommended that you read the whole book from beginning to end, and then go back and read from chapter 4 to chapter 10 on a continuous basis until you practically have them memorized. Because you want to think automatically about what each of those mean. And she was a real, proficient, successful Christian Scientist. You will find her writings are very excellent and entertaining. She mixes some jokes in there, all related to Christian Science. She used to be a ghostwriter for one of the most popular authors, and she decided to start writing books on her own. Many books, all excellent. The way to read the textbook is start at the very beginning and read it to the end. Study it intently. Look up every single word that you don't know for sure what it is, and some of them that are very key words, such as sight, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. I would look those up. You will find definitions that you did not expect. The 4th of the operators is science. Science is interpretation and translation, where you're automatically living the life of God's idea. You don't have to think about it. It's automatic. Jesus was living the science level. Mathematics is the same. It has 10 digits. Those are tantamount to the 7 synonymous terms for God. It has add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Those are the operators. And of course, there's multiple levels of mathematics. In Christian Science, on page 115 and 116, it explains the 4 levels of understanding of Christian Science. You need to be very familiar with those and understand what they are and work toward the highest level. We must practice until Christian Science is automatically directing every part of our life. Let Christian Science play us. And Christian Science is the science of God, the science of Christ Jesus' healings, the science of divine metaphysics. It is the highest type of science there could ever be, because it is the science that controls everything else. It controls everything in the universe. Everything in all existence is controlled by God, and Christian Science is the study of the science of God. Everyone has the opportunity to practice exactly what these other individuals did to overcome every problem. Mary Baker Eddy, did not permit anyone to live in her home unless they could master electricity and the weather. In order to be successful, one must be thinking about not just being a C student and think about tithing 10%. And I don't mean to just foolishly give money away. I'm talking about giving away yourself, contributing yourself to humanity. Almost every institution that is considered a non-profit organization is corrupt. Even the Red Cross, which used to be such a good motive, that was the engine behind it, is corrupt. Almost every agency in the government is totally corrupt. There is some major cleanup going on right now. And finally, for the first time, someone in the government is planning to do something about an agency that is giving us all the fake weather and earthquakes, all the fake storms, wind, fire, everything, floods. They're all man-made. They are all engineered. We provide details on all of these things on our website, because we think everyone should be prepared to know about them and to have prayer treatments about them. If everyone would do that, we would be able to heal everything through Christian Science. There would be no corrupt elections and no corrupt participants, such as politicians, judicial system, anything. Everyone would be clean, spiritual, reflecting what they all should be reflecting, the qualities of God. That's what we must strive for. As mentioned, if you're going to have goals, which everyone should, otherwise they will be stagnant, then you must include self-improvement, which would include time management, reading, goal management. These skills are all very important. Plus, whatever profession you're in, whatever avocation, whatever hobbies that you're involved in, you should strive to be very proficient in every single one of them. We must strive for perfection in everything we do. When you study, you should record the original the way it is. In other words, as it is written in whatever book you're reading. And then you should contemplate it and think about how you would want to put it in your own words. That's making it your own. Now, you don't want to change the meaning, but you want to put it in your own words, and you record that. Always keep all of your recordings. You will find a great value in it over time. And remember, if you're a C student, you're at one level. If you're a B student, you're at a higher level. An A student, a higher. And if you're at the top of the class, that's higher. The more you give, the more you will benefit all humanity. And you automatically are a part of all humanity, so it raises your level up. If you're a taker instead of a giver, you're in the wrong religion, the wrong way of life, because this life requires you to be a giver. Everything, not only money, but your time, out of the 1,440 minutes. Food, shelter, clothing, transportation, and particularly constantly look for ways to help other people and look for people that need help. We would have no people living on the street. We'd have no unemployed people. We wouldn't have anything but productive people if everybody did this. We can eliminate any challenge to the nation if people will unite behind the standard that Christian Science provides. In short, it's the golden rule. Love everybody, everything, in a spiritual way, and think of all of us as being one family, because we have the same Father, Mother God. That makes us family. Whatever you do, you should be benefiting everyone that is concerned. The following is a prayer treatment by Mary Baker Eddy. She did 7 of these. They're all titled Diapason of Heaven, and one for each of the 7 terms for God. This one is for soul, because we've discussed how important it is to identify properly whatever it is that we are doing, and that is soul, the spiritual sense of sight, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling spiritually. Diapason of Heaven. We must hold soul in consciousness only as a sacred name for God. We have to rise above the belief that soul is an invisible personality residing in a fleshly form with a personal identity. Soul must be recognized as a name for God, and a name by which God is to be worshipped. We have to take the interpretation of soul as a personality out of subjective thought and replace it with the true sense. We should declare often, there is only one soul, and that is my infinite, incorporeal, supreme God. Soul is my God, and my God is soul. Amen.